Session number 17965, Sergeant Major Frederick Beadle, reel 14.
Sergeant Major Beadle, reel 14. 1946, you came back to the UK and you went to Chester, to the remedial centre.
Yep.
What was the scale of effort there at that time? How many recruits would you have coming in and how many staff did you have to handle them?
I wasn't in that in Satan camp all that long, and I couldn't, with any accuracy, say how many recruits there were or staff come to that. But we worked on four companies, to the best of my memory, and I would estimate that each company probably consisted of something like 100 remedial cases that was coming through.
Did they trickle through, or did they come for a set length of time and then move on?
They came for a certain length of time and then moved on. They would go their length of time, and providing the remedial exercise had done them some good, and in the estimation of the medical officer, worth putting through and recruiting, or if they had not done so, they would be dismissed from there.
Have you any idea of what the rate of success and failure was?
No, not at all. Something I didn't deal with. And it was something that I can't remember having seen it published or even spoken about while I was there. But as I say, I was only there for a short period. So I can't really speak with any authority whatsoever on the numbers that were entailed in that particular place.
What was your role while you were there?
My role, I was in charge of one of the gymnasiums there. There was a gymnasium to each company, and I was in charge of the PT side of things and the remedial exercises under the guidance of a medical officer. I had a staff of something like 8 PT Corps people to carry out the various exercises through the troops.
What sort of equipment were you using for the remedial exercises?
Generally speaking, nothing very special. In our particular cases, it was nothing special at all in the gymnasium. We had the bars, we had the balancing bar, mats for groundwork. Most of it seemed to be exercises that were possible with one's own ability, such as press-ups, for instance, and handling the feet where you've got curly toes or flat feet, anything like that, where you've had advice from the medical officer to use such an exercise, you are then responsible for passing that exercise on through the recruit, hoping that it's going to do them some good.
Now, you were saying that in 1939, when you were dealing with reservists and conscripts, some of them had a bad attitude to physical training and obviously didn't want to do it. How did you find the demeanour and attitude of the remedial cases on the whole?
In 1939, I didn't deal at all with any remedial cases.
No, but you were saying that quite a lot of the people you were training, some of them were not terribly interested, about 15% I think you said. I was wondering what the state of
I don't think we're on the right track. We're not on the same track together. You're talking about the recruits at the beginning of the war.
Yes.
Previously what we spoke about was the troops after the war that had to do 2 years, the conscripts.
Yes.
That's what we were speaking about.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't in 1939 that you had a sort of sector of about 15% who were not very keen.
No,
it was after the war.
No, I never heard anything about remedial or anything like that up to that point in time.
Yes.
It was only during the war that it seemed to be taken into account with any meaning at all.
Mm.
But during 1939, from the beginning of the war to the end of 1934, it was just a case of getting them fit and rushing them through out to various battalions I mean, for instance, the territorial battalions would be nowhere near up to strength. You'd be pushing them out to these various new battalions, 4 battalion, 5 battalion, which was done in the same way by each county regiment, I should imagine, in order to boost the army to good numbers in a very short space of time.
Yeah. And did you find that your remedial patients at Satan Camp were keen to improve and get into the army, or did you find that some of them were anxious to use their defects as a way of escaping?
Yeah. I think it was a bit of each, really. Those who were conscientious enough to appreciate it's going to do them some good obviously worked very hard to ensure it did come to some good. On the other hand, as you say, there would be a certain amount of them who wouldn't want to get better because they wouldn't want to be in the army. But again, I can't give a correct answer on that. I wasn't there long enough to estimate details like that.
How was it that you were posted to Sandhurst in 1947? How did that come about?
I was in Satan Camp, and I was quite happy to stay in Satan Camp, because my wife was living in Liverpool with her parents. But I got the posting to Sandhurst come through. I tried to stay at Satan Camp, but with no luck. As you probably know, the posting to Sandhurst was a War Office posting, so there was no getting out of it, really.
What did you do when you got there? What was your duty at Sandhurst?
I was just another instructor. At Sandhurst, doesn't matter what rank you are, it brings you down to a level. I'd been used to running my own show, so to speak, and quite suddenly I was just another bod going to Sandhurst. But I didn't mind that all that much, although I preferred to work on my own. It was one of those things. I was selected to go to Sandhurst, and Sandhurst I went.
Who was in overall charge of the PT at Sandhurst at that time?
I can't remember any names whatsoever. It's funny you should ask me that. We had a DCLI officer who was in charge of the PT side for some time. His name I can't remember, but it was a Cornish name. Then we had under him WO1 PT Corps, followed by the WO2 sergeants, staff sergeants and sergeants. There must have been, had an estimate, something like 10 instructors there, possibly. I can't remember.
How was the work of doing the PT organised for you?
As far as I was concerned, like the other instructors, I was told what squads I would take, and those squads I did take. Full stop.
What sort of physical training programme were you doing with them?
Similar to any other battalion, except that we did a bit of fencing and stuff like that, which was over and above what one would get in a regiment.
So was it the sort of standard PT that any recruit would get?
Well, they'd get their normal PT tables, the same as anybody else, the arm, shoulder, trunk, leg exercises going through. There would be no difference whatsoever. As I say, the only difference would be that they were taught things like fencing, athletics. But they were things that you wouldn't teach the average recruit, although you're teaching the cadets so that it'd be handy with them when they became officers.
Did you teach them how to teach PT themselves?
No, we didn't, strangely enough. At no time can I remember that being carried out.
Did you find it more difficult or easier to handle the cadets, or was it the same as handling other recruits?
I would think it's about the same. There was the odd bod who would be a bit difficult. You get them in every section of life. But generally speaking, they were very well behaved, keen to do the exercises. I found that they were very keen when it came to fencing, or boxing, athletics, gymnastics, which they got a little bit more of than the average recruit.
What was their general level of fitness when they came into the establishment?
Very good. In most cases, very good indeed. A bit above the average recruit, I would say.
What about the rate of injury and remedial treatment? Was that roughly the same as it would have been in a battalion, or did that differ at all?
While I was at Sandhurst, remedial treatment was never spoken about. Not a word whatsoever. So, I can't say more than that about it, really.
What would happen then to a cadet who came in who got hurt? Would he be sent away for treatment, or would you do it there?
He would report sick to whatever doctor was there. They had a doctor in the college, of course, and he would report sick in the same way as anybody else would, right down through the ranks. And he would be treated accordingly. He'd be excused duties for so long, or carry out treatment for so long. It's just as simple as that, really.
Did they get more PT than the average recruit would get, or the same amount in terms of proportion of time?
No, about the same amount, I would say. They didn't get any more. They might have had it a bit more regular, but I don't think they did any more, no.
Did you find there was a greater emphasis on games at the academy than there had been in battalions or depots?
Yes, there was. Because, as you know, in Sandhurst, they had all the facilities for games, right on the grounds. They had rugby, cricket, football, squash, running track. They had everything there for these recruits, the cadets, to take advantage of.
What about the gymnasium? Was that a well-equipped establishment?
Same as any other gymnasium. It's I think there was a standard scale of equipment to each one, because every gymnasium I went in, they seemed to have about the same amount of equipment, same number of mats, a horse, a beam, but wall bars, about the same.
What about the discipline? Was that the same as it would have been in other establishments you'd been in?
I would say the discipline was a bit above the average recruit. The discipline wasn't difficult to inaugurate, because they were obviously wanting to do good anyway in order to get their commissions. If they misbehaved themselves, it would go against them. And in the end, if they didn't pull their socks up, they wouldn't get their commission. So it was very simple to carry out the discipline there, compared with the average recruit.
Did you ever have to take formal measures against any cadet while you were instructing there?
Never.
Where were you living while you were at Sandhurst?
I lived in the college, first of all, when I first joined the college. I lived there in the basement in the old college. Then I was given a quarter in Blackdown. So I worked from Blackdown. It meant cycling into Sandhurst in the morning and home at night.
That would have kept you fit.
It did, yes. It's quite a long way, actually.
And it's uphill going back.
That's right, a very steep hill going back. After it, I used to have to walk, and I was fit. So that was it. So I stayed there at Blackdown, from a living quarter point of view, until, as I told you, I think it was our last occasion, I was poached by the 1st Battalion, the
To go to Buller?
That's right.
What was the social atmosphere like at Sandhurst when you were working there?
The
social atmosphere?
There wasn't much social atmosphere to see there, except in the science mess, WO's and science mess. We would have darts evenings or something like that with other units, and in particular, the one that we did like was was Crowthorn. What is the asylum there?
Broadmoor.
Broadmoor, yes. We used to go there on a visit to into their science special, the equal place. But other than that, there wasn't very much. You made your own fun. Well, I don't think it was difficult, really, to make your own fun in a place like that. There's plenty of places within reach. We had a good science mess, obviously, in the college. So,
where was the sergeant's mess located at that time?
Behind the old college, as much as I can tell you, really. I've got to think about that. The road from Camberley to Sandhurst, which was closed once a year so that we could always claim it, or the MOD could claim it, that ran along the front of the old college to the Sandhurst entrance or outgoing, and the sergeant's mess, as I say, that's the nearest I can tell you. It's behind the old college, at the rear of the old college.
Was it in a building attached to old college, or was it in huts?
Oh, no, it was in Hutted. It wouldn't be there now, I don't suppose. I just think the huts were taken down and rebuilt round there. But it was Hutted. We had a dining room, a very big dining room, good sitting room, all the facilities that one would wish for, I should say. I was quite happy about that.
Did you mix in with the other elements in the academy, the drill sergeants, the colour sergeants, or did you tend to have your social life more with other members of the PT Corps?
I don't think there was a lot of difference, really. We got on all right with the guards. The guards were the outstanding people there, and I suppose we had a bigger staff there than the guards, probably. It's quite a big staff there. But then, other than the guards, were sergeants for various units doing various jobs, but we got on all right together. There's no acrimony at all whatsoever.
You were saying that you all mixed in quite happily in the mess,
yes.
The sergeant's mess, with the guards and the sergeants from the other units, the colour sergeants.
Yeah.
Who looked after their fitness? Did they train with you as well, the sergeants and instructors?
A very good question. I don't remember them doing anything in the way of PT. Most of them were on drill, so I think they did as much as necessary out on the square. But
did they play games?
They were joining the games. I mean,
yes.
We had our usual football team and hockey team and what have you, and they would join in with that according to their ability in the various games.
Were the games played by the cadets competitive? Was there a sort of tournament or competition between companies or between platoons?
They weren't in companies exactly. When they came to the gymnasium, they were in nominal squads, and the changing rooms for them were founded on battle honours. They have something like number one section would change in somme room, that sort of situation. I can't remember, while I was there, any competitive game between squads, other than athletics, which was more individual than squads anyway.
How big was the squad?
It would be about 20. Nice handy number for instructors to handle. That was about it.
Did you, at that time, perceive any preference for team games over individual games, or the other way around?
I think with the cadets, they preferred games, obviously, than the straightforward PT. Again, created by their situation, I would say. Over and above enjoying the games better than freestanding physical training. They wanted to be good at what have you, so that they would get be selected at the end of the course for a commission. But other than that, I can't comment, really.
Was there an official policy of encouraging team games rather than individual games, or not?
No.
Was it just left to the cadets?
No. No official policy, not as far as I know. We did our best to, as I can see it, we did our best to see that when those cadets left the college and took up their commission and their appointment, they would know a little bit about something, or a little bit about everything, rather, in the athletic lines. They would be lectured on cricket and positions of fielders, the different names for various parts of the field, different names for the various fielder according to where he might be positioned in the field, boxing. They would be taught how to run a boxing match, football. We had a football representative. I don't know if you remember him, but Wally Barnes. He was right back for Arsenal. He was the football coach in Sandhurst at the time I was there. The boxing coach, can't remember his name, but quite a character. Unfortunately, a little bit punch drunk, because he would box in any weight that they like to give him, from middleweight up to heavyweight. So it went on. All the major sports, they had an instructor there who specialised in the sport and could pass on the information necessary for the cadets to be able to officiate or organise any of those various games.
Did you have a special sport or game yourself?
Fencing was about the only one. I wasn't a qualified fencer. I had not had a fencing course at the school. The fencing that I did was what I'd picked up over my service, and being keen on it, in particular sabre.
Did they do the full range through
sabre, epee and foil?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did that.
Interesting enough, one of my grandsons has just competed in Germany for under-17s, representing the country for the under-17s, on epee. I'm very pleased about that.
What about unarmed combat? Did they do that?
Oh, yes. That was more or less standard curriculum after the war. It came in during the war, as you probably know. And that was carried on with. I don't think for long, actually. I can't remember after the war any courses in that. But certainly, chaps like me who served during the war, if they were in charge of a gymnasium, they would put that in here and there to create a bit of interest.
While you were at Sandhurst on the PT staff, were there any changes to the syllabus or the way in which things were done that you can recollect?
No, not as I know of. I think it was the wrong time to be there to work out changes. I think they were making the best of what they got after the war. Because during the war, I should imagine they really stepped up production like they did everywhere else. And things went to pot a bit, like decorations and what have you. For instance, we had to improvise quite considerably. For the first few weeks there, over and above taking my squad in PT or what have you, as I could paint a little bit, I was employed in painting the names of the various changing rooms over the doors. I also painted a notice for the athletic ground. I did it in what I thought was Old English. But when the Commandant saw it, he ordered it to be taken down and something put up that people could read.
Who was the Commandant?
Yes.
Who was the Commandant?
I can't remember, honestly.
Did you meet him?
Individually, no. No.
Did you have much to do with officers while you were at Sandhurst?
No, we just had an officer who was in charge of PT. As I said, I know he's got a Cornish name, but I couldn't remember what it was. I'm getting very bad at 85 years of age for remembering names, so just excuse me there.
What about the company commanders and squad commanders? Did they make a habit of coming to watch PT in progress, or did they leave it to you?
They didn't interfere in any way whatsoever, really. The only time I saw a lot of officers in the gymnasium was when Monty visited Sandhurst, and from the balcony gave one of his rallying calls, so to speak.
Do you remember what he said?
Not a bit, no. Yeah. Much too long ago. Plus the fact he was up on a balcony, I could hardly hear him anyway.
Now, you had about a year at Sandhurst. Isn't that a rather short tour of duty?
Yes, well, I wasn't very happy there, to be quite honest.
What made you unhappy?
I preferred to be on my own, organising my own situation, rather than just being another PT instructor. There was also the fact, of course, that I was stationed at Sandhurst, so going to and fro from Blackdown to get there, which was rather a slog anyway. I did ask for another station. They were very kind to me. They gave me a quarter in Blackdown, and they posted me to Blackdown.
Who were you with when you were at Blackdown?
4 Battalion, the RASC.
But you were still in the PT Corps at that stage?
I was still in the PT Corps, yes. Yeah. 4 Battalion RASC, can't remember how long they remained going, but it was a lovely posting, really. The commanding officer was very keen on anything physical, and he was one of those chaps. He really took an interest in what was going on in the PT and games line. He was also one of those chaps that at all costs he'd win if it was a football match, a cricket match, a hockey match. He wanted to win, and which meant that if there was a championship coming off and I needed the chaps who were going to play to do a bit of extra exercise in order to make them fit, I would get them whatever time of the day they could be fitted in between other squads being in the gyms. So I was very happy there. But the number 4 battalion was then disbanded. I can't remember how long after. It must have been 18 months or 2 years they were disbanded.
What was the main business of 4th Battalion when it was going?